Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Texas woman's request for a medically necessary abortion is taking her out of state for treatment because her case is tied up in court. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
The 31-year-old mother of two is more than 20 weeks pregnant with a fetus diagnosed with a likely fatal genetic abnormality.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is meeting with President Biden tomorrow. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby.
It's a chance for the president to get an update from President Zelensky about how things are going, but also to make it very clear to President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people that we're going to continue to support them.
The war in Gaza has seen hundreds of thousands of people try to escape the fighting while trying to feed their families. CBS's Ramy Innocencio.
I spoke with the MIDI spokeswoman for the World Food Program, and she said not just brink of collapse, but she said that this was unprecedented. 90% of more than 2 million people in Gaza displaced, half of those starving.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
There's a new attitude surrounding Carroll University basketball this year as Taylor Jansen leads the men through his first full season as head coach. The Pioneers are celebrating all the wins, and you can catch all the action of every home game right here. Don't miss a moment as Don Brown takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Texas woman's request for a medically necessary abortion is taking her out of state for treatment because her case is tied up in court. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
The 31-year-old mother of two is more than 20 weeks pregnant with a fetus diagnosed with a likely fatal genetic abnormality.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is meeting with President Biden tomorrow. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby.
It's a chance for the president to get an update from President Zelensky about how things are going, but also to make it very clear to President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people that we're going to continue to support them.
The war in Gaza has seen hundreds of thousands of people try to escape the fighting while trying to feed their families. CBS's Ramy Innocencio.
I spoke with the MIDI spokeswoman for the World Food Program, and she said not just brink of collapse, but she said that this was unprecedented. 90% of more than 2 million people in Gaza displaced, half of those starving.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and
the Packers on Monday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and Giants in prime time kickoff at 7:20. Defensive back Jaire Alexander has missed the past four games with a shoulder injury he suffered against the Rams and was asked, would he play against the Giants?
You know, I'm the type of person I always want to put my best foot forward, you know. So I feel like if I can't put my best foot forward, then it's just tough to even be out there, you know.
Yesterday, before they got on the plane, the Packers ruled Alexander out for tonight's game. Women's college basketball. The Badgers had an early lead but lost 87-65 to number 3-ranked Iowa. And the Hawkeyes star player, Caitlin Clark. What made the day special was attendance. Over 14,000 fans sold out at the Kohl Center. Iowa's head coach, Lisa Bluter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, I've been a part of it really almost since the beginning, and to see where it's come, it's so exciting because, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis. I just love the attention that women's basketball is getting right now because it deserves it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 25. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, high of 32. Tomorrow night, lows around 20. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. The lines are lighted up. I will take you in order. Do not hang up. In order, Bob Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I'm worried about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And I think Biden could get huge public opinion, world public opinion, campus public opinion in his favor if he parked a hospital ship off of Gaza. They need hospital capacity desperately. And he, maybe the world central kitchen guy ought to be in there. He goes to disasters. Maybe he avoids wars. But something like that, or a some kind of ship to give food should also be parked off of the coast of Gaza, too. And the South Gaza people, I don't know why Israel doesn't let them back into North Gaza. Just have everybody go into North Gaza, and then you won't have all the civilian casualties. Sounds too good to be true, huh? I don't know why they don't do it.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. I'm going to point out a couple of things. Hamas still has over 100 hostages. They've apparently killed a few, and they're threatening to kill a lot more. The mobs that greeted them the first time on October 7, they brought a 10-year-old Israeli boy frightened to death as a hostage, and a mob surrounded him, cursing him and hitting him. And they had an Israeli woman whom they tortured to death, and they carried her body, and the crowd spit on it. The truth of the matter is that this is not going to be resolved until those hostages are freed. Israel has made it very clear, free the hostages, and it should be very, very easy for the people, if they're not involved with Hamas, in Gaza, to either kill or demand from them that they release the hostages, because the rest of them are going to be killed. Now, human beings are human beings. I agree with that 100%. Joe Biden and Tony Blinken have leaned very, very heavily on the Israeli government to let food and aid in and all of that. But they're still launching rockets into Israel. They're still launching rockets into Israel. They're killing hostages. And they're the ones that went over on October 7 and in the most brutal, sadistic fashion, dismembered alive a lot of people, especially a lot of girls and women and babies. These people are evil. I'm not talking about the Palestinians. I'm talking about Hamas. Hamas is like ISIS. It's like Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, the Janjaweed, Hezbollah. These people have to be eliminated. There's absolutely no alternative, and they've said they'll keep doing it. So Israel is sending in their soldiers. They go into the tunnels. A lot of them are getting killed. They're doing everything they can. But I think it's up to the people who are there in Gaza. Yes, there should be more humanitarian aid, no question. And Blinken and Biden have pushed that very strongly. But you cannot leave these people there to come and do it again, in my opinion. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Andrew?
Bob of Detroit always, Bob of Detroit, Bob always has wonderful points of view. And I loved his ideas about the hospital ship and also anything. And I think that should be done south Gaza, where it meets Egypt. But anyway, Professor. Oh, and by the way, I did receive your check from referring to you as Professor last week, so thanks for that. I call you
Andrew's a great kidder.
I call you Professor because I always learn something listening to your show. My point in my whole life has always been I need to learn something every day. A day where I haven't learned something is a day wasted. And to that point, I hear you talking about conservative professors, and that I'm going to subscribe to Hillsdale College, a very conservative college here in Michigan. And you can subscribe to them, and they will show you how to understand the Constitution. And I guess I want to do that from a conservative perspective. Thanks, Professor. Have a good day.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Yeah, well, the thing is, I've taken political philosophy courses, and I've taken history courses with very conservative professors. One of them in British history is very pro-British and too pro-British, in my opinion. And so what? I learned all the factual basis and the various historians, and I made up my own mind. So let's keep an open mind. But you can't have a professor of conservative thought. You have professors of history and philosophy and English and math and geology and so on. So thanks for the call. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, you're next.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Matt. I just wanted to pick up the subject that you had in the first hour, which is the woman who has fled Texas in order to get a medical abortion for this grievous situation she has with this fetus that is pretty much dead, and she's unable to receive a abortion in her state of Texas, so she has fled after a court action. My question for you, Matt, is this just one of the first volleys? Is there not still in Texas, under the laws that they had, a situation where those who helped this woman leave the state to get an abortion, those people could collect snitch money of up to $10,000 by detailing where she went, how she went, and is that still in effect? So are we in a situation where Paxton and others could really lay down the hammer and say, okay, once you get back in the state, you know, anybody that helped you, such as your mother or girlfriend or whomever, because I understand her husband is prohibited from helping her get an abortion, those people could be up for charges? I'm interested in your reaction, Matt. Thanks.
That's a very, very good question. And here's the status that I know. What Joe is referring to is, now Texas has a snitch bounty. You get 10 grand if you turn someone in who goes to have an abortion. But Texas only has jurisdiction over its own state. There are states that have passed a travel snitch. In other words, Idaho is one of them. And Mississippi and Alabama are considering them. And that is, not only if you have an abortion in the state, but if you go out of the state to have an abortion, the person helping you travel has committed a criminal offense in Idaho, even if, let's just say they call you on the phone and say, I'll pay your plane ticket, and they meet you at the airport in Illinois. These statutes are unconstitutional. I do not know if Texas finally passed it. I do know that they discussed it. There is a clause in the U.S. Constitution called the Privileges and Immunities Clause, and it's a principal reason why you don't need an ID card or a passport to go from Wisconsin to Illinois to Alabama. You do not need anybody's permission or a passport to get on a plane in Milwaukee and go to Tucson. The United States, you have the Privileges and Immunities Clause, and among many other things, what that does is it prohibits anybody from interfering with your right to free travel. There is no question in my mind that the tarantulas would overturn that Idaho statute if it ever, ever, ever was enforced, and if Texas has one the same. However, the problem with that sort of thing is that those statutes very rarely, those extreme ones very rarely, because they're sort of gimmies, no-brainers, you know, like a six-inch putt. I mean, nobody in their right mind should uphold that. But for that very reason, they frequently don't get to the U.S. Supreme Court, because either they're not enforced, or if they are enforced, what their real effect is a deterrent effect, Joe. In other words, if you are a person in Idaho, and I do know they do have that statute, and you're told that there's a law against it, you may just obey the law because you're, quote, law-abiding, or because you're afraid you'd have to hire a lawyer and beat it in court if you went out of state. So the real effect of these terrible, terrible anti-privacy, anti-privileges and immunities clause, anti-American statutes is their deterrent effect. And it's a very, very sad thing, very, very sad thing. Karina Milwaukee, what's on your mind today, Karina Milwaukee?
Hello, Matt. Thank you for a great show. Always so much interesting information. I want to go back, if possible, to a boss, if possible, because as far as I understood, when they were bargaining, which they shouldn't be, because it's already been deciding. This is making me so mad. It's just ridiculous. I feel like my brain gonna explode. Those questions have been solved already. This is already was dedicated amount of money. So you rather keep the money for the education in the saving account to accumulate the interest rate on the taxpayers' money, rather to give to educational system. And if you are giving to educational system, you put condition in, and one of the conditions is actually $78 million for renovating the apartment building, which he owns. How is that even possible, man? I mean, those people actually looking at it, it feels like, man, honestly, it's not a good take, because it feels like those people sitting in the government, they see and consider the tax money as a free money, and they're trying so hard to figure it out how they can use it for own, you know, greed, for their own purposes, for their own improvement, one way or the other.
Right. No, that is a good call. And I'll go back to some other thing. This is not just here. When it comes to the raises, Governor Evers has brought suit. I think he'll win. You remember Gableman, $3 million. Voss just called somebody up and said, send $3 million. I mean, really, that's what he did. That should go through the legislature, and it should go through Evers, and it did not. And that was very, very wrong. Coming up, the Ivy League presidents are in trouble.
Gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, some developments over the weekend. Liz McGill, the president of the University of Pennsylvania, announced she was resigning. They're going to let her stay on while they do a search because of her disastrous testimony in the Congress. And now there are calls for two others to resign. Claudine Gay, who is the president of Harvard University, and Sally Kornbluth, who is the president of MIT. Harvard University's board, and they call it the Harvard Corporation Board, is 13 people. They run Harvard. They're all people, alumni, donors. There may be a professor or two on there. They're elected by the Harvard alumni. And they have the ultimate say on who's the president and who does what. They met over the weekend, and they haven't disclosed what they are doing. I'm going to tell you what the Harvard faculty is doing, but then I'm telling you what I think the best resolution should be with her and with Sally Kornbluth of MIT. About 600 Harvard professors signed a petition saying that they support her and don't want her to be fired, Claudine Gay. But they made it clear that they do not want their petition publicly printed or disclosed. We don't know what it says. They just said they sent it to her. And we're told afterwards that many of them, it's not that they support what she said in Congress or even they think that she's a good, does a good job, but that they don't want, quote, outsiders, end quote, trying to squeeze them. You know, some of the Ivy League colleges are unbelievably arrogant. They really are unbelievably arrogant. They get hundreds of millions in the aggregate, billions of dollars in grants, and they decide my way or the highway. Here is my concern about Claudine Gay, and here's my concern about Sally Kornbluth at MIT. They have permitted to be fostered a Kristallnacht environment in their universities. It's foreign to the United States. You saw it in Germany. In Germany, in 1932, when Adolf Hitler took office, and then he immediately... they fired everybody who was a public servant who was Jewish, and they expelled people from universities, and Jewish kids in schools in general were beaten up. One family friend we have who's quite elderly, he just turned 101, Dieter Gruen. He was in a school in Germany near Berlin, one of the two Jewish kids in the class. Then they beat him up right after Hitler came in, shortly after. And then he was a very good violinist, even though he was only like in the fifth or sixth grade. They would put soap on his violin string so he couldn't play it. It was cruel. What's happening at Harvard and MIT is cruel, and at Cornell and at Columbia. It's cruel. Jewish kids say that they can't go in the front doors of their classroom buildings because they station a few protesters who abuse them, in some cases hit them. They have to go through side entrances. That's true of MIT as well. They say that if you go through Harvard Yard, if you've ever been there, it's really a magnificent place in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There'll be people stationed along the way shouting Intifada whenever they see a Jewish student. They abuse them, yell at them, in some cases shove them. That is a Kristallnacht culture. Kristallnacht is the name, Kristallnacht, the Night of the Broken Glass, 1938, I think, when a mob went through the streets in Germany and broke the store windows of stores owned by Jewish people. It's a culture of intimidation. Claudine Gay would not tolerate that if these were people with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers who are targeting her ethnicity. She's Haitian, or where she grew up in Saudi Arabia. Wouldn't tolerate it. Wouldn't tolerate against any other ethnic group. what she is doing is wrong. She's incompetent. I've looked into her. She's basically a professor of African American studies, but no discernible intellectual credentials. I think it's more victimology on her part. It's not serious scholarship. She's doing a terrible job. And when she was there, along with Liz McGill, they asked her, if somebody advocated the genocide of Jews, would that constitute an abuse of Harvard's harassment policy? She said, it's contextually important. It depends on the context. No, it does not depend on the context. And when Hitler did it in the 1930s, it wasn't the context. Claudine Gay is incompetent to be the president of Harvard University. And if anybody out there went to Harvard or has a relative who went to Harvard, they should write to the board, the corporate board, and let them know you want her out. She is a danger, and it may be simply incompetence. It may be because she secretly agrees with the people who are attacking Jewish students, but it is a travesty that she is still there. And frankly, same with Sally Kornbluth at MIT. The Jewish kids can't go in the front door of their classrooms. They're shoved. They're yelled at. There are cries of intifada. That element has got to be gotten out of the university. It's got to start with the presidents. And there's a simple way to do it. Fire, expel, and deport. Fire faculty who are part of it. Expel students who are part of it. And deport anybody who's here on a faculty or student visa. Put an end to the Kristallnacht environment in those universities. Carolyn of Madison, thanks for calling, Carolyn. What's in your mind today?
Hi, I'm going back to the last hour. Josh Call, I'm thinking of the lame duck session where they put restrictions on Tony Evers and Josh Call, their offices, where the Republicans just said, no, but sets of rules, and I don't remember what they did. If you could remind people of what they did.
Yeah. Carolyn, excellent question. That's an excellent question. Right. In the lame duck section, they try to make Voss the constructive governor and the constructive attorney general. It was largely having to do with approval of civil settlements, like in an environmental case. If somebody was going to settle for an amount, because they threw cyanide in the water, and Josh Call recommended a settlement. The legislature has to approve it. It would be unconstitutional under our state constitution if they thought they had the power to decide who gets prosecuted. If they tried that, if Josh Call, and I hope he does it, prosecutes the fake electors, and I hope he prosecutes Ron Johnson, Scott Fitzgerald, and Robin Voss. And if he does that, for the legislature to say, we don't approve that, that's totally in violation of the Constitution. And the present court, with Janet Protasiewicz prominent on it, would overturn that. Now, they could try to impeach him. They wanted to impeach Janet Protasiewicz the day she was sworn in. She hadn't done anything. They want Megan Wolf. They could try that, but that has to be for a crime or public corruption in office. And Josh Call's exercise of prosecutorial discretion to prosecute anyone is beyond that. It has nothing to do with that. If they didn't like the prosecution, Ron Johnson and Spindell can bring a motion in front of the judge to dismiss the case. But it's an excellent question, Carolyn. And yes, they did step in and try to interfere with that office. Coming up, you're not going to believe the percentage of jobs created by Democratic presidents in the last 35 years, and you're not going to believe what Tuberville and Schmidt are doing to still hurt the military.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new poll suggests more people in Wisconsin are buying guns for self-protection. The Journal Sentinel and Marquette University polled 354 Wisconsin gun owners recently. It's the most extensive survey of Wisconsin gun owners' opinion so far. Roughly half of Wisconsin's homes have guns in them. 3 to 8% of Wisconsin gun owners say they've pulled a trigger in self-defense. Governor Evers says he'll veto any attempt to do away with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He tells Upfront on WISN-TV he would never agree to a Republican bill to shift the powers of the agency to the Secretary of State. Evers says the Wisconsin Elections Commission does a good job and has a good leader. Many Republicans have been unhappy with the Elections Commission since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A blighted BK in West Dallas is coming down. After negotiations, Burger King has agreed to demolish its abandoned restaurant near 106th and Greenfield. The demo work will begin December 27th. The city of West Dallas had previously filed a lawsuit against Burger King, citing the building as a public nuisance and requesting repairs, demolition, or sale to a new buyer. The lawsuit highlighted issues such as broken windows, peeling paint, and a deteriorated parking lot. The funeral for a Milwaukee police officer who died after a car crash will be held Wednesday in Franklin. Visitation will take place at Southbrook Church starting at 9 a.m., with the service scheduled for 2. Officer James Nowak donated his organs. There's still an ongoing investigation into the crash in Oak Creek between Nowak's car and a semi. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks are back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After a short trip to Las Vegas for the NBA in-season tournament, the Bucks are back at Fiserv Forum tonight in Milwaukee. They'll host the Chicago Bulls. Chicago just 9-14, Milwaukee at 15-7, third in the Eastern Conference. College football, Wisconsin Badgers receivers coach Mike Brown has resigned, effective immediately. He's taken a job as a receivers coach for Notre Dame and will help them get ready for the Sun Bowl. Brown had worked for Luke Fickle at Cincinnati. NFL, Packers and Giants on Monday Night Football. New York has struggled on offense, but the defense, led by coordinator Wink Martindale, always keeps a quarterback on the lookout. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, they present a lot of problems. You never feel easy going against a team that he's coaching, and because he knows he can deploy a number of different blitzes and a number of different looks. And I'm certain that coming off a bye week as well, I'm sure there's going to be something that they haven't put on tape. That's typically the case.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 25. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, high of 32. Tomorrow night, lows around 20. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. I'm taking you in order. Do not hang up. Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I appreciate those comments about the plight of Jews on American campuses. It's not just limited to the Ivy League. Jews, a lot of Jews on American campuses, a lot of students, you know, they're afraid to wear the Star of David. That identifies them as Jewish. They're afraid to wear a kippah, yarmulke, a head covering. It identifies them as Jewish. They're afraid to identify or even go to Jewish organizations to be active in, say, Hillel or organization on campus. And, you know, they're afraid of being sanctioned. They're afraid that they'll be downgraded when grading time comes along. And it also has a huge chilling effect on academic freedom and free speech. Because what it's done is a lot of Jews will no longer participate in activities, in political activities that could be construed as supporting Israel in any way. So as a result, you know, you only have one side of this issue being expressed, and the Jewish kids are essentially censored or self-censored because of this. And it's really a problem. So it's not just what you mentioned, not just physical, not just a physical threat, but it's a threat really to their entire futures when things like grading and that kind of thing is implicated.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. And I want to follow up on that, because there are 500 and some odd Harvard faculty members who said, you know, they're so arrogant, they go, well, you know, don't mess around with Claudine Gay, even if we don't think she's any good. But people don't remember that there was also 100 of them when the first very violent protests came and their shouts of genocide the Jews and all of that. 100 of them sided with those protesters. And there have been faculty members. There's one at the University of California who talked about hunting down and harming the children of what they called Zionist journalists who stood up for Israel, and people making jokes of the torture of Israeli women in their protests in New York, and one that was down in Tennessee. And if I were a Jewish kid going to college, a professor has a lot of power. You know, grading is very subjective. They aren't all multiple choice. And there's an essay, and they see a Jewish kid, they make he gets a C, whereas a kid that I like because of his ethnicity gets an A. I think that this has gotten so bad. When I talk about a Kristallnacht society, obviously it hasn't gotten to the point of Kristallnacht, but it could. But I think what we're talking is about a pervasive anti-Semitism that is joined in by the far left, basically, but also by the far right. In other words, Ilhan Omar, Pramila Jayapal, and Rashida Tlaib are virulent anti-Semites. But so is Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and many others on that side of it. Now, with the university, you have got to have very, very strong presidents. And these characters, McGill, Gay and Kornbluth, are not that. They've got to be fired, because you need a president who talks to the faculty and says, look, we are not going to put up with anti-Semitism. We're not going to put up with making kids feel uncomfortable in class or grading them down or any of that. And I'll tell you what, I, as president, I'm going to keep an eye on it. And if I catch any of you doing it, you're fired. Period. End of story. Period. End of story. What's really going on, and then I'll get to the next caller on the line, is the Ivy League has a lot of prestige, but it's not because of what it's doing right now. Its prestige is historical because it was a pillar of Western thought. Harvard was formed in the mid-1600s. William and Mary was next in the 1600s. Yale was formed in 1701. So when you have 300 or more years of accumulated prestige, it takes a while to squander it. But they are squandering it. And you know what's going to happen ultimately? There are some of the kids who feel that they'll be victimized at these schools are going to go to other schools and make them excellent. You know, the fact of the matter is that the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Michigan, Berkeley, their faculties and their scholarship, the University of Chicago, are absolutely as good as anybody in the Ivy League. In fact, better in a lot of departments. You can have universities like Notre Dame. You have new universities like Georgetown, although they've had a problem with this anti-Semitic stuff. They've had a problem with admitting students from other, basically it's a lot of foreign students who come in from cultures that are violent and are virulently anti-Semitic, and they're bringing their attitudes here, and some faculty and some other students sort of go along with it. But that's got to stop, and that's why I say the mantra should be fire, expel, and deport. It's very, very simple. You come here, and you better love America. And if you want us to look at your culture, that's fine, but you will assimilate. We like multiculturalism in art and music, food. We don't like it in constitutions and hatreds. That stops at our shore. And if you are not just guilty of punching somebody because they're Jewish, but trying to make them feel uncomfortable and giving them low grades, you're out of here and you'll get the hell out of the country if we're able to deport you. We need much stronger university presidents on all those fronts. Okay, Adrian and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, the university presidents. Now, the question that was put to them was, if someone advocated the genocide of Jewish people, would they be subject to discipline? Now, it's my understanding that under freedom of speech, will protect just the speech, even repugnant though it may be, as long as they don't go further with actions, such as you described people trying to keep students out of their classrooms and so forth. That's a whole general separate matter, not subject to discipline, actions like that. But speech itself shouldn't be punishable. After all, if the neo-Nazis have the right to march down by gates of heaven, someone in Harvard campus should be protected by free speech just by saying something, although that something is more repugnant than any of us ever want to hear.
Okay, thanks for the call, but you're not correct on the law. If I said I think the president should be killed, I've committed a felony, okay? If I say that any public official should be killed, I've committed a felony. If you say, and let me tell you the difference between, you're talking about the Nazis that marched in Skokie about 40 years ago in Illinois, which is a heavily Jewish area, and it caused a lot of pain, and they were Nazis, you're right. And some Nazis marched in Madison, a couple of weeks ago. I think they went right up State Street. Now, let me tell you the difference. Let's get very real here. When the Nazis marched in Skokie and Nazis marched in Madison a few weeks ago, everybody in the community hated them. They had no support. They were outliers. They were permitted to march. But nobody, other than being offended by it, seriously thought that any of them, could hurt their careers or anything else. In Germany under Adolf Hitler, Jewish people were hunted. And to say that they had, of course, Germany didn't have a First Amendment, but if it did, what, the mob had a First Amendment right to shout at kids going to school? That's not true. That is not true. You could say in a trivial realm, it would be, if you had a shouting match in a small group, it's disorderly conduct. But it is an offense. But when you're doing it to shout, in many cases shove, and then you go, well, wait a minute, I just said they should be genocided. It was this guy over here who shoved them, and I don't really know him that well. You are contributing to the harassment, the debasement of people who are being harmed. And you are part of you can look at it this way if you want to, a conspiracy. In other words, let's have 10,000 people. And by the way, they don't have that many people. They had a couple hundred people in Madison and who knows. But the truth of the matter is, you can't go, okay, we're going to march. We are going to try to intimidate people. We're going to prevent them from going in the front door of the classrooms. They have to go in the side door. They can't wear yarmulkes and they can't wear Stars of David. But if somebody wants to wear a hijab and a crescent and anybody dares to do anything, Claudine Gay would be on that like a duck on a June bug, okay? So I've had enough of this. I am here to say that there are circumstances where speech is a criminal offense. And one that's clearly, by statute, is you better not say it about the president, and you better not say it about a public official. And if you call people up and give them death threats, you will be prosecuted. And if you are sneaky and you go, well, I might not kill you myself, but I hope somebody does, you will be prosecuted. But enough's enough. We are not putting up with a Kristallnacht culture on our campuses. And they need much tougher. These three people, McGill, Kornbluth, and Gay, are pathetic. They're weak. And in some of their cases, I'm not sure that, at least with Gay, she's not complicit. This has got to stop. And we are here to say that the First Amendment doesn't protect you trying to beat down one ethnicity. When the Ku Klux Klan did it and they marched in the South, there was a concept in the law back at Section 1983, 42 SC Section 1983, back in one of the Reconstruction codes, that if you operate under the color of state law or, frankly, community sentiment, in other words, racist sentiment, that could constitute at least civil actionability. You could be sued, and in some cases, you could be prosecuted. If you have an environment of extreme anti-Semitism, which they have now in the Ivy League, I'm sad to say, and they're so damned arrogant, and their faculty is arrogant, and they don't see it. They can't see the forest for the trees. But this is a statement. We will not permit it. We will not permit it. And take a look at the First Amendment again. Yeah, you have freedom of speech. If you defame somebody, you can be sued for damages. There used to be a crime called criminal defamation, which was held unconstitutional. If you make threats to people under some circumstances, you can be prosecuted. And when you look at a Jewish kid and then you smirk and you go, oh, I'm just talking about everybody, I would prosecute them, but I'd do a lot better. We don't need them. We let them in, and it was a bad mistake to let them in. Fire, expel, and deport. Remove scholarships, remove their visas, put them on a plane and get them the hell out of this country, and get the faculty that are complicit with it. And a good president is going to sit down with the faculty and say, if any of you are sneaky SOBs and you think that you're going to grade an English or a history paper to disadvantage somebody because of his religion or ethnicity, I'm going to spot check them. And I am your equal. In fact, I'm your superior. And if I think you did that, you're out of here. You're fired. Knock it off. Nobody speaks that way. Why does nobody speak that way? Why does only Matt Flynn Direct speak that way? We are a country that's diverse. It is our strength. There's no question about it. There are good people all over, but we're not going to report people who gang up on Jewish people. And frankly, a lot of it is hatred at the United States, but nobody has the guts to do it to the general population, although some did in 9/11, the Boston Marathon, Orlando, San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Chelsea, Ohio State, the Manhattan bike path murders, others. This has got to stop. We welcome people here. Work hard, study, mind your own business. Do not presume to impose a Kristallnacht culture on the United States. We beat the Kristallnacht culture. We beat them badly, and we will do it again. We did it in Germany last time. So I get very exercised about this. Universities are the greatest things in this country, and they're being poisoned. Okay, coming up, there's a couple of things we haven't talked about. The Giuliani trial in Georgia. They want $48 million. They may get it from Giuliani.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to get through a couple of things very quickly in this last segment. I said early on that 98% of the jobs since 1989 have been produced under Democratic presidents. In Bill Clinton and Barack Obama's 16 years collectively, 33.8 million jobs were created. Joe Biden's 34 months. 14.1 million jobs created. George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and Trump collectively over 16 years, 1.9 million jobs created. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall, that was 1989, 98% of all jobs in the United States were created under Democratic presidents. Now, does that mean that Democratic presidents just go ahead and create jobs? No. The president is a leader, an economic leader, and he sets up, he advocates rules. And Republicans, it's statistically improbable that just by chance, this is what happened. The truth of the matter is Republican presidents try to support very wealthy people and their donors and screw everybody else. And Democratic presidents know that prosperity starts in the middle. Up and down. So the next time you're talking about Joe Biden in his 34 months is 14.1 million jobs. With both Bushes and Trump over 16 years, it was 1.9 million jobs. So don't give me anything about Trump knowing what the heck he's doing. Secondly, I mentioned Tommy Tuberville and Schmidt. Tommy Tuberville has blocked 11 four-star flag officers, and Schmidt has blocked 5 officers. But they managed to clog the drain, because what's happened is junior officers get promoted, but they have to have jobs to be promoted into. So the former two-star officers who were going to become three-star officers, there's no job for them because the three-star officers are waiting to be four-star officers. They did it on purpose. The Republican Party will not give 9 votes to just confirm these 11 four-stars. They just won't do it. And therefore, the Pacific Fleet and Pacific Air Command don't have commanding officers. Cybersecurity doesn't have a commanding officer. The North Atlantic Command, which protects our country and Canada, does not have a commanding officer. You must understand something. The Republican Party will stab America in the back for money, for their donors, for prestige, for the hell of it. They are a treason caucus. Some of them, like Moscow Mitch, would like to confirm them. I get it. Then my advice to Mitch is get on the stick, get 8 other people, and override Tuberville. What you are doing in the middle of 2 wars is badly hurting the United States. And then I also want to say this about Giuliani. Giuliani's having a very bad day. Where do you think he's having it? He's having it down in Georgia. The Georgia peach, sweet Georgia, is where he's having it right now. And why is he having it? because he defamed, do you remember, Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, mother and daughter? Shea Moss had worked for the election people down there for 8 years in 2020, started in 2012. Great employee. She supervised absentee ballots in the small area that she was from. And her mom, Ruby Freeman, during that election in 2020, was hired briefly as an temp to check signatures on absentee ballots, which she did. She did a very good job. But what happened was, you know, there were videos went in and they were doing their job. So they'd have a bin of ballots and they'd take it and put it in the other container where the other ballots were. But because they were African-American and because they were obscure, nobody knew them, Giuliani and Trump, Trump should have been sued for libel as well on this thing, said that what they were doing is dumping in fraudulent ballots without any basis. It was false. And the Georgia election people, even though they're Republicans, said that's ridiculous. Shea Moss is one of their better employees. They made her a supervisor, and Ruby Freeman, her mom, was just comparing signatures. They got death threats and racist threats. They had the N-word on their phone and shouted at them. They were advised by law enforcement to leave their home. They left their home for a couple of months. They lost their business. They had a little business on the side where they made leather purses and decorated them. They've lost that. They testified at the January 6th Commission. The January 6th Commission was very emotional. I remember it very, very well. And Shea Moss said, my life's ruined. I can't look at anybody. I'm afraid to go to the store. People yell at me. They destroyed my life. And Giuliani did that. And Trump did that. Because they were basically two African-American women that nobody ever heard of. And they lied. In this case for defamation, and by the way, I said Georgia. In fact, it is located in Washington, D.C., federal court in Washington, D.C. They somehow got it up to Washington, D.C. It's not Georgia, but that's where the defamation impacted was Georgia. And they're picking the jury today. And just in, it looks like the plaintiffs, Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, are going to seek $48 million. And I'd give it to them. That includes punitive damages. I would give it to them. They destroyed two defenseless women. You know, if you're a black woman in Georgia or frankly anywhere, you've had a lot of struggles in our culture. And if you deny that, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Then to have the president and his henchmen lie about you producing death threats and racial threats, that is disgusting. And now you have Giuliani. At one time, for 1 week in one of the presidential races, was the leader for 1 week. Mayor of New York, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York now, and then he'll try to declare bankruptcy. And if he's a good lawyer, they'll say, no, that's not dischargeable in bankruptcy because he did it maliciously and it was fraud. So stand by, stay tuned, but I hope that Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman stick it to him. And I hope they get a good judgment down there because their lives were effectively ruined by Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump. Okay, coming up, a lot of news and weather and another great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.